If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, since we're starting into the new year, and to start out right, we're going to be going over this month a series on spiritual disciplines. And today we're going to be beginning that series specifically on the Word of God, on the Scripture, focusing on the Scripture, reflecting over it, meditating on it, letting the Scripture be our guide for life. The Scripture, as the Reformers said, are the rule for faith and life. Everything we need to know concerning faith, concerning how we are to walk before the Lord, is contained in the Scripture. And so we want to begin with that foundation of this series, the Scripture. In Joshua, we read, or we're getting ready to read, of how Joshua, Moses' successor, was now going to lead the people into the promised land. There were things that the Lord has commanded Joshua that we'll read of in a moment that are very significant. You would think that when the Lord raises up someone, perhaps, that they are to lead the people, there are going to be obstacles in the way, there's people to conquer and so forth. He didn't give them any strategic plan of how to conquer the peoples. Nothing at all like that. He says, be careful to observe my law. That's what he said. We need to understand that in any situation in life, we are to look to the Scripture. That as we're enduring suffering or trials, whatever it may be, we look to the Scripture. When we're trying to perform what it is that the Lord wants us to do and to walk accordingly, how do we understand that? We look to the Scripture. You cannot divorce the Scripture from your Christian life. The Spirit does not operate independent of the Word of God. We must understand that. So let's go ahead and jump in here. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 to 9. Stand with me as we give honor to God's Word. Joshua 1, beginning in verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's have a moment's word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly come into your presence this morning. Father God, we thank you for your mercy and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Father, we thank you for the privilege to know you, the privilege to serve you. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word, that we could come to know you and what it is that you desire of us, your people. Father God, I pray that today you will open the eyes of our hearts, that we can come to understand what is pleasing in your sight, Father, that we walk accordingly, not according to our own ideas, but, Father, according to your truth, which is the only truth. We pray, Father God, that your word would go forth, accomplishing all you send it forth to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. You may be seated. So we begin our series speaking about Joshua, Moses' successor, the servant of the Lord. Joshua has been raised up. Joshua has his task before him. His task is, you are to lead this people across the Jordan into the promised land. That's his task. That's what he knows he has been raised up to do. That's his purpose. He says, there are going to be people in the way. There are going to be obstacles to overcome, whether it's the Hittites or the other peoples of the land. But the Lord says this, even though these obstacles are there, even though these people is there, you do all that I have commanded you according to the law of Moses, I will not fail you. Be strong, be courageous in performing this task. You know, it's very interesting that to be strong and be courageous, the word there means to be resolved. Be resolved. Know that I have raised you for this purpose and I will not fail you. Do all that I have commanded you according to the law. Observe that law. Meditate on it. Reflect upon it. Do not let it depart from your mouth, is what the Lord had said also. Observe it and you will have success. You're going to have success wherever you go. You're walking in obedience to the Lord. It's very interesting. The Lord says, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success, meaning to act wisely is what the word means. So in anything that you have in life that you're trying to overcome, you have your task before you. You can overcome it. You can act wisely. You can do right by me in this situation. And according to the scripture, it was Joshua conquering the land. You're going to have success because I'm going to be with you. We know that Joshua crossed the Jordan. He conquered a number of people. He had to deal with a lot of things besides those people. He had to deal with sin in the camp. All these things, but he acted accordingly, according to the word of the Lord. He trusted in the Lord and he followed his word. He didn't act independently of that. He didn't try to do his own thing and try to please the Lord by his own ideas or try to conquer the people in another way besides that which the Lord had commanded. He didn't do anything like that. He trusted in the Lord. He observed what the Lord had commanded of him. He walked accordingly. He obeyed. And he had success. He acted wisely. He was resolved in this truth that God was going to be with him and that God would not fail him. God had made him this promise, I will be with you as I was my servant Moses. No man will be able to stand in your way. Only observe what I have commanded you. We know from the scripture here that Joshua, as he was conquering the peoples, 31 kings he conquered. In Joshua 12, it's recorded for us, beginning of verse 7. Now these are the kings of the land whom Joshua the son and the sons of Israel defeated beyond the Jordan toward the west, from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even as far as Mount Halak, which rises toward Seir. And Joshua gave it to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their divisions, in the hill country, in the lowland, in Arabah, on the slopes and in the wilderness, and in Negev, and the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And the king of Jericho, one. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, one. The king of Jerusalem, one. The king of Hebron, one. The king of Jarmuth, one. The king of Lachish, one. The king of Eglon, one. The king of Gezer, one. The king of Debir, one. The king of Gedor, one. The king of Hormah, one. Of Arad, one. The king of Libna, one. The king of Adullam, one. The king of Makeda, one. The king of Bethel, one. The king of Tapua, one. The king of Hefer, one. The king of Aphek, one. The king of Lesharon, one. The king of Madon, one. The king of Hazor, one. The king of Shimron, Meron, one. The king of Ashaph, one. The king of Taanach, one. The king of Megiddo, one. The king of Kadesh, one. The king of Jokneam and Carmel, one. The king of Dor in the heights of Dor, one. The king of Goim in Gilgal, one. The king of Tirzah, one. In all, 31 kings. 31 kings he conquered in order to fulfill his task that the Lord had given him. 31. How did he do it? Did he have some great military strategy for accomplishing what the Lord had given him? No. What did the Lord tell him? Observe the law. Observe what I have commanded you. Act wisely. Walk accordingly. And the Lord was with him. And the Lord gave him success. That's all it took. And Joshua trusted in the word of the Lord. Perhaps he was recalling what the Lord had said to Moses back in Deuteronomy 31. He said to Moses the same thing. Be courageous, be strong, I am with you. So what was it that Joshua did? He trusted in the word of the Lord. That was his guide for life. That's where he was comforted, encouraged, and strengthened by the word of the Lord. Not in his own ideas. Not in his own way of thinking. Perhaps this is good, perhaps this is good. He trusted in the word of the Lord. And he performed his task. He conquered the peoples. He led the children of Israel into the promised land. He trusted in the word of the Lord. And it was his guide for life. It was his guide to know what pleases God. And he obeyed. This is no different from us. You have a task. You have a purpose. Your purpose is to go forth, preach the gospel to all nations, baptize them, and teach them. That is your purpose. You have no other purpose besides that. That is given to everybody. That is a general purpose that the Lord has commanded to every single one of His children. Go forth, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. That is your purpose. So how is it that you perform that? How is it that you do that effectively? You do it according to the word of the Lord. As the Lord has commanded you, as the Lord has taught you, this is the way you are to walk before me. The Lord doesn't have to, it's not a mystery what the will of the Lord is. Sometimes we act too much like it's a mystery. Well, I'm praying about this, I'm trying to figure out what the will of the Lord is. We know what the will of God is. He's revealed it to us. It's here. We don't know the will of the Lord because we're not in the Word to see what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is for you to be sanctified. We've went over this stuff before. What is the will of God? It's for you to be sanctified, to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's for you to suffer. You've been granted to suffer for Christ's sake, and it's in His sufferings that you come to identify with Christ. That is the will of the Lord. It is the will of the Lord to abstain from the things of the flesh. That is the will of God for your life. It is the will of the Lord that you go forth and preach the gospel. That's given to everybody. It's the will of God that you come to know Him through His Word. You have that task. You have that purpose before you. That this is what I am to do. I know what the will of God is for my life, and that is to share the gospel. Sometimes there are other things that we come to know as we are on our Christian walk. Perhaps it's preaching, perhaps it's teaching, perhaps it's encouraging. You can go to Romans chapter 12, you can go to 1 Peter 4, 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. There are a number of gifts there, teaching gifts, serving gifts. But we all have a general idea of what it is that we are to do, share the gospel. How do we know that? From the Word of God. How do we know how to do that right? How do we know what to say? How do we know what the gospel is? We get it from the Word of God. What is it that we tell people? How do we make disciples? According to the Word of the Lord. It's that simple. Just a number of scriptures here to look at. You know, Book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. This is what Paul says. Acts chapter 20, beginning verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." What did Paul say? When I came here, What was it that I gave you? The same thing he says in 1 Corinthians 2. I have purposed to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the same thing here. What did Paul preach to them? Everything. He preached to them Christ. Of repentance towards God. Of faith in Christ. That's how you make disciples. You're preaching the gospel of Christ and of repentance towards God. And let me just say this as well. If your gospel does not contain repentance, it is not the gospel. You must understand that. How do we know that? From the Scripture. There are too many today that want to offer Christ and offer a decision for Christ and lack the very needed part of it, the very needed element rather, which is repentance. You cannot have Christ's salvation while despising His Lordship. You can't have it. You cannot have salvation without repentance. The two are one and the same. You repent, you believe. You submit yourself under the Lordship of Christ. How do we know that? From the Scripture. The Scripture is our guide. That's how we are to make disciples. Not to think to ourselves, perhaps if I say this or perhaps if I say that, I might offend somebody. We don't believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's why we try to compromise it and water it down to make it to where it's more acceptable to people. That's not the gospel. The gospel is, you repent, you believe. The Scripture tells us that. That's how we make disciples. That's what our purpose is. That we preach an uncompromising gospel. It's not us who saves anybody. So we can't be afraid of saying the wrong thing, especially if it's contained in the Scripture for us to tell them. You can't be afraid. It's not you saving anybody. All you are is the mouthpiece. It is God who saves. Only God can remove the scales from someone's eyes. Only God can cause a heart to be regenerated. God does that, not you. How do we know that? From the Word of God. We make disciples preaching Christ, preaching repentance. Purpose to know nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if we lack a repentance, a gospel of repentance, we've undermined the work of Christ. Why was it that Christ had to die? To justify you. You owe a debt that you cannot pay. And so Christ has paid that debt, becoming the object of God's wrath on the cross to satisfy His justice. And you repent and you believe. We trust in the Scripture. That's our guide from making disciples because that's our purpose. That's our task before us. To make disciples of all nations, to preach Christ, preach repentance toward God. If it lacks any of that, it's not the gospel. Then we have our obstacles that are in our way as well. There are a number of things that life throws at us, so to speak. Of course, everything that happens to us in life is ordained by the Lord. We know that. According to what the Lord says in Job 23, He performs that which is appointed for me. God is sovereign, who works all things after the counsel of His will. There are obstacles before us, but how do we endure those obstacles? How do we endure the trials of life or the tribulations that we happen upon us or the sufferings that happen upon us? How do we keep our focus? By the Scripture. You keep your focus by meditating on the Scripture. Isn't that, that's what the Lord said to Joshua, wasn't it? Let's go back and look at that. In verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Verse 9 as well. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Meditating on the Scripture. Reflecting upon the great truths of the Scripture, which helps you to endure what life has. That's how you're comforted. That's how you're strengthened. By the word of the Lord. Not by anything else. I read a blog this week by, I guess he's kind of well-known, pastor, younger fella. And he was saying that the community of the church is more important than the reading of the scripture or the studying of the scripture. Or the scripture as a whole basically was what he was getting at. Community is more important. We don't need to do all that reading stuff. It's the community of the church that's important. This was a foolish statement that he made. But it also gives us an idea how it is that people view the scripture. Well, that's important, yeah, but what's more important is that we have a community together, that we're close together. The community of the church is built upon the foundation of the scripture. You can't have community and unity without the scripture. You can't have it. It's the scripture that unites people together in that community, and it's within that community that we encourage one another and strengthen one another. And how do we do that? By encouraging and strengthening with the Word of God. That's why we must be in the Word. It's not just an exercise that we want to do. We need to understand the importance of it and the need for it. We need to know what Scripture tells us. We need to know how the Lord works in our lives. Instead of guessing, or instead of having a situation come up in our life and look to heaven, why, Lord, have you allowed this to happen to me? That's the kind of attitude that we reflect when we don't know what the Scripture says. How can we help someone else if we don't know what it says? How can we encourage them and say, this is what God promises you? Yes, you're going through a difficult time. You're suffering. I totally understand that. But what is it that the Scripture tells us? What is it that it helps us to understand of how the Lord works in our lives? All that's based on the Scripture. And there are going to be many, many things in life that's going to come about. You're going to suffer. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have persecutions, whether physical or whether verbal. It's going to happen. Now, Peter says, don't be surprised at the fiery trial which comes upon you for the testing of your faith as if some strange thing happened to you. We know it's coming. But how do we keep our focus? We trust in the Lord and what the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. What the Lord says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What the Lord says, He empowers us to endure whatever the situation is. We trust in the Word. Let's read what Paul says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Isn't what Paul says. Beginning in verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. Here's Paul recounting a number of the things that he himself has endured as well as his companions. And what does he say? Even throughout all of this, we know that we will be raised up with Christ. We know that we will be presented before Him. How did they get through all that? They focused themselves on the promises of God according to the Word of the Lord. That's how they endured all these things. Not by thinking to themselves any other ideas. Nothing like that. They trusted in what they knew the Lord had said. Because the word of the Lord gives comfort. It gives us strength. It helps us to understand that even in the midst of terrible situations, the Lord has a purpose in what it is that He's allowed us to go through, that He works all things for good to them who love Him. How do we know that? We know it by the Word of God. And we trust in what the Word of God says. In Philippians, we've talked about this before, in Philippians, how it is that Paul had commanded the Philippian church, rejoice in the Lord. This is not a suggestion or it's a command. Paul commands the Philippian church to rejoice in the Lord. How is it they are to rejoice in the Lord even though they're being handed over for suffering and all this sort of thing? How can they rejoice? Because they have confidence in Him. Confidence that is based on what the Word of God has said. God is sovereign. He works all things after the counsel of His will. You can be comforted. And you can help comfort others because you understand what the Word of God says. That's how you comfort someone. That's how you encourage someone. And that's how you yourself are comforted. Going back to Joshua, what the Lord had said to Joshua, to meditate on it day and night. Meditating also, it means not just to reflect upon or to ponder, but to speak. That you're speaking these things to yourself. And we have a habit sometimes when we're doing something and we're like, oh, I did that wrong. You're not talking to anybody else but you. And you say things like, oh, I did that wrong. I shouldn't have done that. But you're speaking to yourself. You're mumbling. That's what meditating is as well. That you're speaking the truth of the Scriptures and encouraging yourself in that way. Meditating, reflecting, and pondering. But you got to know what's in here. You got to know what it says. You have to be aware of these things. And what is it that the Lord requires of you? How do we know how the Lord wants us to live before Him? Do we feel it? Do we say to ourselves, well, I feel that this is right, and therefore I'm going to do this thing, or I'm going to do this thing, or whatever the case is. We don't go by feeling. Feelings go up, feelings go down. What is the one constant? The truth of the Scripture. That explains to us, that tells us how the Lord desires for us to be. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God as beloved children. How do we know how to be an imitator of God? We look to the Scripture. God is righteous. He's holy. He's good. He's love. All these attributes of God that we read of in the Scripture, we seek to imitate that in our life. Having mercy on those that perhaps we would normally say they don't deserve mercy. We didn't deserve mercy either. God was gracious to us, therefore we're gracious to others. How do we know all that? By the Word of God. Paul goes on to say as well, the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You know what's pleasing to the Lord by what He has revealed in His Word. The opening Scripture that Squirrel had read talked about the testimony of the Lord. That this is His witness of Himself to you. What you hold in your hand is not just some book that we regard as any other book. It is the testimony of the Lord. He has revealed Himself to us through His Word. He tells you, this is how I want you to be. He tells you, even though you're going through this situation in life, I'm with you and I will not fail you. And He gives us promises. One thing to point out here as well. Let's turn to John chapter 15. The Lord said to Joshua, be strong, courageous. Where do we get our strength from? Nehemiah says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Doesn't He? The joy of the Lord is your strength. We are to be strong and be courageous, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Listen to this, what Jesus says in John 15. Look at verse 10 and 11. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, is what Nehemiah says. And it was the joy of the Lord that was the strength of Joshua as well. The Lord's telling him, be strong. What is he telling him to do? Be strong and observe my commandments. What is it that we're told here by Jesus? Observe my commandments. Keep my commandments. You're going to abide in my love by keeping my commandments and your joy is going to be made full. That's how we have strength. That we keep the word of the Lord. This is not for salvation, by the way. You don't keep the word of the Lord for salvation. You're keeping the word of the Lord because you know that it pleases Him. This is what pleases Him. He has saved you. He has justified you. He has adopted you into His family. He has granted you repentance. He has granted you the forgiveness of sins. He has redeemed you by the blood of Christ. And He says, here's how I want you to live before me. And therefore we do so to demonstrate our love for Him. If you have someone that claims to know Him and yet wants to live any way that they desire, most likely they're not a believer. Faith without works is dead, being by itself. You say you have faith without works, I will show you my faith by my works. 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John says, by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one that says he has come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Your life will reflect the truth of God in you. And you would want to seek to understand what is pleasing in His sight. And you've been given the Spirit of truth that enables you to do so. You've been given the Spirit of the Lord that empowers you to walk before the Lord in righteousness and holiness of truth. You've been given the Spirit that has broken the bonds of sin. No longer are you under its dominion, under its mastery. You've been broken from that. So how do we know all this? We know by the Word of God. We know all these things because of the Word of God, and God has told us this. And therefore we trust in it. We trust, He says, this is how I'm to be before Him. This is how I'm going to be before Him. He has said, you want to abide in me and abide in my love, and you keep my commandments. And He gives us the promises. Just as He promised Joshua, you do all these things, you're going to inherit the promised land. A land of rest. The writer of Hebrews, he also talks, he makes a comparison about the promised land, which is the earthly rest, with that which is the heavenly rest that the Lord has promised us. He has given given us His Spirit as a down payment, a pledge of our inheritance that we are yet to have. How do we know that? Because the Scripture tells me so. And we trust in the Scripture. He makes us promises. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That your joy will be made full. That you can have a more abundant life. That we can do all things through Him who strengthens us, Him who empowers us. He promises, my grace is sufficient for you. He promises that with every temptation there is a way of escape. He says He works all things for good to those who love Him. You know, one scripture I want us to look at especially is in Romans chapter 8. Listen to what He says. Beginning of verse 35. Here's His promise. Here's what the Scripture tells us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Listen to this. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In anything that you endure in life, the promise is we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. That nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ. That promise is given to us to comfort us, to strengthen us, to comfort others as well. But all of the comfort and all of the strength and all of the knowledge of things, all of that comes by the word of the Lord. How we are to make disciples and what gospel we are to preach to them, it comes through the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord tells us that we're going to have difficulties in life. Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We know all that by the scripture. That there should be nothing in life that would happen that we wouldn't understand. God has allowed this to happen for His purpose and pleasure. I don't understand it, but He says, my grace is sufficient. And all that comfort comes from the Scripture. That's why the Scripture must be our priority. It was the priority of all that was in the Old Testament. It was the priority of Moses as he was penning it to the children of Israel as he declared it to them. For Joshua, who took up the mantle after Moses, the priority was the Scripture. You read Psalm 1 about the one who is favored of God. He meditates on the law of the Lord. He delights in it. That was a common denominator all through the Scripture. The Scripture is what we look to. It's the Scripture that we must put ourselves in and focus upon. That's why we cannot afford not to be in it. If we're trying to help others, and by the way, everybody has influence on somebody. You have influence on somebody in your life. And how are you to lead them if you don't know what the Scripture's saying? How are you to act wisely if you don't know what the Scripture says? How are you to have success in your Christian walk and growing in Christ if you don't know what the Word says? It must be our priority. It must be. Community is great. Being part of something and being united together is a wonderful thing. But that unity must be based on the Word of God. So as we start into this year, let us make it a point, as we've probably already been doing, being in the Word, but to make it a point even more so, to continue that into this coming new year. That the Lord uses us for His glory, that we please Him in all that we do, but all that is based on the Word of God. Let that be one of our New Year's resolutions this year. A lot of people make New Year's resolutions for a number of things. But how about making them for your walk with Christ? Let that be our focus for the year. Amen. Let's stand if you would. Let's have a moment's word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come into Your presence this morning. And Father God, we again thank You for Your mercy and grace. Father, we don't deserve Your mercy. We don't deserve Your grace. There's nothing in and of ourselves that would merit salvation or merit Your favor. Father God, we thank You that You chose to save us. Father God, that You granted us repentance. The salvation from beginning to end is a work of You. You're the author. You're the finisher. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that carried out the work to redeem us and to secure our salvation. Father God, we thank You for that. Let us never take that for granted, Father. Let us never look at salvation so shallow that we only want to claim Your salvation while denying Your lordship. Father, You are the Lord of our lives. Help us, Lord, to submit every part, every aspect of our life to You, as it's Yours anyway. You're Lord regardless. Let us walk wisely before You. Give us success in our walk with You, not material things, but growing in Your grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Give us success, Father God, as we go out and we share the gospel with others. Father, that we plant and water the seeds. And if it be your will, Father, that you give the increase. You're the only one that can save. Father God, as we start in this new year, give us wisdom that we please you in all that we do. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for all that you've done for us, all the blessings that you have granted us in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name we ask and pray all these things. Amen.